To the Congress of the United States, it is my sad duty to inform you officially of the death of Richard Milhouse Nixon, the 37th President of the United States. Born in 1913, he was first elected to the Congress in 1946, a member of the historic freshman class of World War II veterans that also included John F. Kennedy. He was elected to the Senate in 1950 and served 2 years as Vice President of the United States between 1953 and 1961. His career in the Congress coincided with the great expansion of the American middle class when men and women from backgrounds as humble as his own secured the triumph and freedom abroad and the promise of economic growth at home.
That was House Reading Clerk Meg Gates, an emotional reading of a sad message from President Clinton. It's how the House session began on April 25, 1994, the first day Congress met after Richard Nixon's death. In 1968, Richard Nixon was elected the 37th president after previously serving as a U.S. representative and a U.S. senator. As we approach the 30th anniversary of Richard Nixon's death, April 22nd, this episode of C-SPAN's The Weekly remembers what was said about him in both chambers as Congress mourned one of its own.
Hey, it's Caitlin from C-SPAN. Did you know that C-SPAN has been serving the American people for 45 years? Since our founding in 1979, C-SPAN has been documenting history with a unique approach, unfiltered, without commentary, and entirely independent from government funding. C-SPAN is funded by fees from our cable and satellite distribution partners. And now, with fewer people subscribing to cable and satellite, we're asking you to help support our next 45. Your contribution helps to ensure that we can continue to provide unfiltered, complete coverage of government proceedings on TV, online, on radio, and our mobile app, as well as context through newsletters, social media, and podcasts. Join us in preserving this legacy of access to the democratic process. Make your tax-deductible donation today at cspan.org/donate. Thank you.
On this day, we acknowledge the death of Richard Nixon, who served this nation in the office of president and who also served in this assembly. We are grateful for his service in the cause of peace in many places in our world, and for his leadership in bringing people together of different backgrounds in a new spirit of understanding. We offer this prayer for his family and for those near and dear to him.
The first day in Congress after Richard Nixon died, and the opening prayer delivered by House Chaplain James Ford. The chaplain shared the same name as the president who succeeded Nixon. Richard Nixon is the most recent president who served in both the House and the Senate. In fact, he was the last of three straight presidents who served in both chambers, following Lyndon Johnson and John F. Kennedy. In all, 10 presidents have served in both the House and the Senate. Those who spoke in Congress that day about Nixon remembered him in personal terms and with personal stories, like Republican Minority Leader Bob Michael.
In 1949, the year I came to Washington as a congressional assistant, he had already established a national reputation, and it was those days I first got to know him through my predecessor. And as the years passed, my wife and Corinne and I got to know Pat and Dick Nixon well, and I knew I could always count on him for advice and counsel. Just a few weeks ago, before we made our most recent trip to the Soviet Union with the majority leader and members of the Congress, I talked to the former president by telephone to ask again for his thoughts and advice on who we ought to be seeing, what we ought to be doing.
Next speaker, Congressman Bill Emerson, Republican of Missouri.
I first personally saw Richard Nixon in that most quintessential political experience noted in this century, the whistle-stop campaign. As a boy, 14 years of age, I was excused from high school one bright October morning to go with my grandfather to Festus, Missouri, where the then vice presidential candidate exhorted the onlookers in the interests of peace and prosperity as part of the campaign of 1952. Richard Nixon was then, of course, Senator Nixon, the vice presidential nominee on the ticket with General Dwight David Eisenhower. I last saw him and had a word with former President Nixon at a luncheon in January hosted by Senator Bob Dole in commemoration of the 25th anniversary of President Nixon's first inauguration as President of the United States. That intervening period in which Richard Nixon has been such a preeminent player constitutes a most remarkable chapter in American history, and I feel very blessed to have been alive to witness and to participate in this era.
After Congressman Emerson spoke, Republican leader Michael welcomed remarks by Congressman Sonny Montgomery. Montgomery was a longtime friend of Richard Nixon. He was from Mississippi, and he was a Democrat.
We were close friends. I served 5.5 years, as the gentleman well did, with President Nixon. I thought he was an excellent president. He certainly understood foreign policy. And he really understood this government. He'd served in the Congress. He'd served as vice president, and he'd served as president. Yes, he made some mistakes. We all make mistakes in life. And
In the Senate on April 25th, 1994, Chaplain Richard Halverson opened the session with this prayer.
Eternal God, who brought life and immortality to light, the nation mourns the death of a great elder statesman, Richard Milhouse Nixon. We thank thee for his gifts to our nation and the world. As leaders from many nations express their loss of this leader, whose influence for reconciliation was so broad, so deep, so strong. Gracious Father in heaven, we commend to your loving care Mr. Nixon's daughters, Patricia Cox and Julie Eisenhower, their families, and all who most deeply experience this loss.
Speaking first about Richard Nixon, Republican leader Bob Dole.
Madam President, all American presidents affect history in their own way. But few have made more history or shaped the history of their times more than Richard Nixon. Today I join with members of this body and with millions of men and women across America and around the world in mourning the death of the 37th President of the United States. Richard Nixon was a great student of history. If he hadn't personally met a world leader, he had read and studied his life. In fact, the last time I visited President Nixon in his home in New Jersey, I was struck by the number of biographies stacked on his desk.
By the way, a footnote to Senator Dole's floor remarks that day, he kept his composure throughout his four-minute tribute. But 2 days later, when he ended his eulogy at Nixon's funeral at the Nixon Library, he broke down in tears.
Strong, brave, unafraid of controversy, unyielding in his convictions, living every day of his life to the hilt, the largest figure of our time, whose influence will be timeless. That was Richard Nixon. How American. May God bless Richard Nixon. And may God bless the United States.
Now back to April 25th, 1994 in the Senate. We heard earlier in the House a Democrat from Mississippi, Sonny Montgomery. Now here's another Southern Democrat from Alabama in the Senate, Hal Heflin.
I had the opportunity to visit with him on a few occasions and was always impressed by his keen intellect and knowledge. In spite of the tragedy of Watergate, I think Richard Nixon will go down in history as one of the most intriguing and successful political leaders of the 20th century. He will be especially remembered for his many and lasting contributions in fostering international relations.
Next, Republican Senator from Utah, Robert Bennett. His father, Wallace Bennett, also was a senator. Wallace Bennett and Richard Nixon were freshmen in the Senate at the same time. Both elected in 1950 and served together until 1952 when Nixon became vice president. Senator Wallace Bennett died 4 months before Richard Nixon. From April 25, 1994 in the Senate, here's his son, Robert Bennett.
I served in the Nixon administration. I was appointed as the head of congressional liaison at the Department of Transportation under the patronage of Bryce Harlow, who was Mr. Nixon's head of congressional liaison operating out of the White House. I went to the White House fairly often in that assignment and gained further appreciation for and admiration of Mr. Nixon's tremendous gifts and his dedication to the country. Then came Watergate. I will not pretend that Watergate is an insignificant interruption in the brilliant career of Richard Nixon and that it will fade with the passing of history. I don't think that is true. Watergate, in my view, was Richard Nixon's tragedy. And I say to people, Richard Nixon is King Lear. surrounded by courtiers who flattered him and who did him wrong, if I can mix metaphors between Shakespeare and country music. The people who had Richard Nixon's best interests at heart and who would have served the country best if they had been listened to were frozen out in the Nixon White House. They were kept at arm's length, and their advice went unheeded, so that ultimately the tragedy of Richard Nixon unfolded.
Senate floor tributes continued the next day. Here's Wyoming Republican Alan Simpson. Like Robert Bennett, Senator Simpson's father had been a senator who knew Nixon.
My mind raced back about 40 years, some 35, 37. It was 1958, I would gauge, and indeed it was an election year. My memory that there was a faint fall chill in the air, as there often is in Wyoming during campaign time, and my dear father, Millward Simpson, was the governor of Wyoming, and we'd all gone to an event at which Vice President Richard Nixon would be the main attraction. My dad was involved in a campaign, a spirited campaign it was indeed. The slogan of the Democrats that year was "Give him the gate" in 58. And they did that very well with my father. They gave him the gate. And he was defeated for re-election as governor, and then later went on to run for the United States Senate and was elected with a great majority. So that pleased him. That was Nixon liked that too, because he'd been up and he had been down. But I recall the remarkable entourage that was there to greet him, and how we all stood together as a family, Pop and Mom and my wife Ann, our young son, our firstborn, Bill. And I recall Richard Nixon coming toward us from the plane and thanking us for attending and coming. And when he scooped up this young son, held him for a moment, and of course the cameras clicked, and later a picture from the vice president to that son as a souvenir of that special day, with an inscription some 30-odd years ago.
And a postscript. In 1996, Congress published the compilation book called Memorial Services in the Congress of the United States and Tributes in Eulogy of Richard M. Nixon, Late a President of the United States. It contained the eulogies expressed in the House and the Senate, and the text of the funeral service for the late president in Yorba Linda, California. And now, a bonus clip. We've heard representatives talk about Richard Nixon. We've heard senators talk about Richard Nixon. Now let's hear Richard Nixon talk about Richard Nixon. In February 1992, 2 years before he died, C-SPAN's Book Notes ran a two-part interview with the former president. Nixon talked about his book, Seize the Moment, America's Challenge in a One Superpower World. This exchange came near the end.
We are shortly going to be out of time. I want to ask you, are you surprised about how people treat you today? And what I mean by that is, just take your visit here, and you can't walk outside here. There are cameras waiting for you, and the people surround you. They want your autograph. Are you surprised, after being out of the White House since 1974 and what you went through, that people are approaching you the way they do?
Well, people are, the American people are sometimes for the underdog. And maybe I'm gaining a little from that. And also the American people like so-called celebrities. Celebrities, whether they're celebrities for good reasons or bad reasons. And maybe I'm a benefit from that. But I would say, to me, what means the most is when somebody comes up to me, as one did just recently, just today, said, he was a little bit older, he was a little younger than you are, and he said, I just want to thank you. He said, because of what you did, I got home from Vietnam. And so that makes it all worthwhile.
That's it for this episode of C-SPAN's The Weekly. Want to hear more from and about Richard Nixon? A reminder, you can do your own searching in the C-SPAN Video Library. Just go to cspan.org and use the search bar on top. For now, thanks for listening. Happy searching, and we'll play you out with music from Richard Nixon's funeral.